From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. The results of yesterday's primary election, for the most part, are in. Oregon now has clarity on who will represent Democrats and Republicans in state races this coming November. Locally, there's a new mayor for Eugene and some major ballot initiatives that could have changed the voting landscape and physical landscape of the city went down to defeat. Today on the show, we'll talk about it all with a group of political reporters and recap who won, who lost, and what it all means. From a statewide perspective, you'll hear from the editor of the Oregon Capital Chronicle, and for a local look, we'll turn to our own KLCC reporters. After the dust cleared, a lot of money was spent, a lot of advertising was purchased, and a lot of campaign rhetoric was uttered. We'll dive into it all next on Oregon on the Record. Sometimes a primary election can seem kind of boring, but yesterday's election offered a slew of interesting races and interesting ballot initiatives that captured a good amount of the public interest. To start off the show today, we'll visit with the statewide publication that covers all things Oregon politics and find out how that political landscape may change this fall. Julia Shumway, the deputy editor for the Oregon Capital Chronicle, thanks so much for coming on after a very busy day and night, coming on and talking with us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You know, even before we get into any specifics, do you have any sort of general takeaways for our audience from yesterday's primary election?
I think the biggest is just how easily decided everything was. We were expecting some nail biters of races. Most candidates ended up winning by huge margins. There's only maybe one legislative race that we're still kind of waiting on last votes to come in, but we knew the results pretty quickly last night.
Yeah. Was there a particular race where you can maybe highlight where you thought, boy, you know, from what we can see before yesterday, this one's going to be a tight race? And then as the day unfolded, you're like, wow, this was surprising how wide a margin it was.
Yeah, I'd point to the 5th Congressional District. That was Janelle Bynum, Jamie McLeod Skinner, who was the 2022 nominee. Bynum, of course, is a state representative. Mm-hmm. The two Democrats who have been fighting for a chance to take on Republican Congresswoman Lori Chavez DeRemer. I thought even minutes before we got results that was going to be a really close race. Bynum ended up winning it roughly 70-30 and we are getting results coming in even from McLeod Skinner's stronghold in Deschutes County early in the night, showing this really lopsided victory for Bynum.
Wow. Is there anything you can kind of point to say, oh, well, because of X, that's why it was so disparate a margin? Was the money spend kind of disproportionate as well on that election?
Yeah, money made a big difference in both that election and in the 3rd Congressional District. I'd say endorsements in the 5th also mattered a lot. You saw Democrats from Tina Kotek down to just about every Democratic member of the Oregon House backing Bynum. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to make a big difference, that voters trusted the candidate who the people they elected trusted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, down here in Eugene, of course, we know James Manning well, but you know, it obviously didn't seem to go his way against Tobias Reid for Secretary of State. Maybe give us, you know, kind of a little primer on Reid, who, as I understand, in that race, you had Manning who said, I have no interest in running for governor, but you certainly have Reid who's talked about wanting to and has run for governor. Talk a little bit about Tobias Reid and what we might see in sort of the race, and, you know, might be an announcement in not too distant future for him wanting to run for the top spot.
Yeah, and I did ask Tobias Reid about that when we sat down ahead of the primary. He told me that while it's definitely not a secret that he's interested in being governor someday, right now he would be interested in serving a full 8 years as Secretary of State, presumably serving two four-year terms if he's elected and then reelected. That he said he really wants to bring stability to the office. And I can see, and I guess we'll see in a couple years or 6 years down the road, if Tina Kotek returns for a second term, if Tobias Reid tries throwing his hat in the ring again. But for now, he seems to want to stick with the Secretary of State's office.
And certainly that office has had some some turmoil recently. I guess, you know, were that some of the comments that both candidates maybe made about wanting to kind of restore trust in that office, as we saw what happened with the former office holder, Shimia Fagan?
Absolutely. Both Senator Manning and Treasurer Reid talked about wanting to restore trust and also really restore stability. It wasn't just Shimia Fagan. We've had our last several secretaries of state have not managed to fill out a full term, Whether it was Kate Brown becoming governor, Dennis Richardson dying in office. You've had a lot of turnover there.
Yeah.
And it comes at a time when you've got a lot of voters who don't have trust in elections. And I think both of those candidates wanted to provide a steady hand at the Secretary of State's office and to kind of calm things down there a bit.
You brought up something. I almost hate to bring it up, but I'm going to, just because, you know, this idea of election integrity has been such a huge issue for the last several cycles, mostly nationally. But I did just want to ask if there was any candidates who perhaps lost complaining about election integrity, any statewide offices you looked at where, you know, someone refused to concede, not because of the closeness of the race, but saying something like, you know, there was fraud or something like that. Was there anything that you saw looking out over the landscape that had candidates maybe crying a little bit of foul?
We haven't seen any of that. And I'll note that it still is fairly early.
Sure.
Not all candidates have conceded. Some of them are, you know, taking a little time to lick their wounds. And then We assume we'll make a gracious concession in the next few days.
Yeah.
But I would be remiss not to note that State Senator Dennis Linthicum, who won the Republican primary for Secretary of State last night, is one of our state's foremost voices in this kind of election integrity or questioning election integrity movement. He actually was a plaintiff in a lawsuit that the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear on the eve of the election that would have tried to do away with mail-in voting here in Oregon.
Yeah. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Julia Shumway. She's the deputy editor for the Oregon Capital Chronicle. Obviously, we saw recently in the short session how the idea of criminalization of drugs became a huge issue. Obviously, it was there was an initiative passed by voters, and then the legislature repealed it. Was crime and drugs, was that sort of one of the biggest issues in campaigning on either side of the aisle for a lot of these statewide races?
It's definitely a huge issue that Republicans throughout the state are running on. And I think you probably saw the most clear sign of where voters were at on this issue up in Portland, where they appear to have ousted their progressive district attorney, Mike Schmidt, in favor of a deputy in the office who's promised to be a little tougher on crime.
Okay.
Because this has been a running issue for Republicans, we'll kind of see how this comes to play in the general election when you've got Democrats and Republicans facing each other.
Yeah. Boy, I know you've done this for a while, and I kind of wanted to ask, was there a particular campaign, and maybe it was funny or very provocative or even outright, you know, disingenuous, was there a particular campaign where you and your team looked at and said, wow, that's an unusual strategy or tactic to try and gain election?
Yeah, I'd say the most fascinating one was this four-way race for a state senate down in Douglas County.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Senator David Brocksmith, who's been in office for a few years now, was facing three different challengers, one of whom really doubled down on accusing, without evidence, Senator Brocksmith of being connected to the Chinese Communist Party, including like at hours before election results posted, he was suing Brocksmith, claiming that Brocksmith made false statements about him. And one of the comments he had in his lawsuit was, I guess there's a mailer that Brocksmith sent out that said that he's dishonest and extreme and has no experience. And so there's a line in the lawsuit that says that this is false. Actually, Todd Vaughn, who ended up losing the election, is honest, is not extreme, and does have experience. And it was very extreme, or probably the wrong word, but it was very interesting to see these candidates going to court to hash out their election disputes.
Interesting, interesting. Julia Shumway, deputy editor for the Oregon Capital Chronicle. As always, really appreciate you jumping on and talking with us.
Of course, thank you.
A lot happened that impacts Western and Central Oregon last night, and we'll talk about it now. Rebecca Hansen-White and Nathan Wilk, part of KLCC's Crack News team. Thanks so much to you both for coming in.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.
You both look surprisingly alert, given that you were up late last night taking in all these election results. Rebecca, let's just start with you. What were the races that you covered, and you know, give us your main takeaways?
Yeah, so I covered the mayor's race, District 8, District 12, and Ward 1. And I would say there was not a close race among them. Karen Knudsen, she won by a significant 75%. And last night at her election party, I don't think she was, you know, quite out there yelling, declaring victory.
Sure.
But I think she was already talking about what her plans are for next year.
Yeah. Talk about the Eugene City Council races and what were your observations there?
I would say, yeah, being at the election party last night, it was interesting that I think incumbents did really well. And then I think one of the races that people were really paying attention to was Ward 1.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Eliza Kosinski versus Ted Koopman and Ethan Clevenger. And she got 67% of the vote in a race with three serious candidates who were raising money and making a real effort. And I did, you know, I interviewed her after that event to ask her, you know, why do you feel like voters are, you know, sometimes when you get a really high count, you're like, do I have a mandate? Are voters sending me to do something? And so I think she really feels like voters are sending her to do the budget and do something about housing, because I think that might be a theme with, you know, some of our city races, is I think people really want something done about the housing situation here in Eugene. And I think that might be reflected in the city council and mayoral election results that we saw last night.
Yeah, yeah. And what about same thing and kind of the margins on some of the other other elections you cover, or other races, I should say?
District 8 also, Lisa Fragola was in first with 75% of the vote. And she was very much talking about, you know, she's going to work on education issues next year. She was ready to declare victory. And Doyle has, you know, called her to congratulate her.
Yeah.
She had 25%. And I think that race was one of a little bit of a weird one, is that it had some outside spending in it, which I don't know how much of a factor it was in that final count. And then we also had District 12, which is Darren Harbick versus Charlie Conrad. And so Charlie Conrad was the incumbent, and he got 18% of the votes.
Wow.
And Darren Harbick, who has run for Senate and governor, got more than 80%. And I think the issue in that race was Charlie Conrad is a pro-choice Republican, which is not super common.
Sure.
And so I think that this pro-life group was pretty upset with him and worked pretty hard to make sure he didn't get reelected.
Interesting, interesting. What about you, Nathan? What were the races you covered, and kind of what were your observations?
Absolutely. Well, I spent most of election night between two watch parties among the ballot measures, two of the three ballot measures here in Eugene. One of those was, of course, for star voting, and that failed by a pretty significant margin. About two-thirds of voters opposed it. And that was surprising, particularly because in previous efforts to get star voting passed in Lane County, it was pretty close. And in Eugene, star voting advocates had talked about how they were winning among those voters back just a few years ago. And so to have such a large swing here, heard a lot from star voting advocates about how they felt like the opposition that came out against them in recent months swung public opinion against them.
You know, I'm interested because of the fact that you and I have talked about star voting before. Do you think that just the fact that, I mean, it isn't the easiest thing to understand at first blush. Do you think that was part of it, that perhaps voters were just like, boy, this sounds too complicated?
That is certainly a possibility. And I also think, you know, when I talk to a lot of people who had not heard of star voting before, they had confused it with ranked choice voting. And one of the things that the opposition pointed out, many of them being ranked choice voting advocates mm-hmm. themselves, is the differences between those two systems and the unique potential problems that they cited around star voting.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is one way to look at it, is that more information about the system was offered to voters. Of course, you know, when I speak to star voting advocates, what they say is they feel like their system has kind of been publicly mischaracterized as something that is too complicated. And, you know, they said moving forward, they really want to put this in front of future voters through, you know, companies and other opportunities to see the system in action.
Sure. And of course, the other initiative you were covering is something that has been long in the consciousness of Eugenians and even Lane County residents, is the proposal to help raise funds for a proposed multi-use stadium, including the M's. Talk about that one.
Absolutely. That similarly failed by a quite large margin, about one third of voters in favor, two thirds in opposition. And I was there at 8 p.m. When the results dropped at a game at PK Park that the Eugene Emeralds were playing. And, you know, when I spoke to people who were in support, who were fans there, you know, they were worried about speaking to their neighbors about, you know, the idea that this would take away from other essential services, which is something that, you know, critics of this proposal had pointed out. You know, and as well with organizations also coming out in opposition who were at the fairgrounds. When I spoke to Alan Benavides, who is the general manager of the M's, after seeing those results, he said that, you know, they will kind of have to go back and recollect and try to figure out their next steps now. Previously, he said that if this stadium failed, you know, Major League Baseball might move the M's out of the city. So that's certainly a possibility moving forward.
Yeah. Let me reintroduce you both to the audience. We're talking to KLCC reporters Rebecca Hansen-White and Nathan Wilk. You know, Rebecca, turning to you, you know, Karin Knutson won the mayor's race. Talk about perhaps the messaging. What do you think kind of pushed her over the top compared to her challengers?
I would say where I think Karin really stood out in what she's really talked about is that she literally wrote the book on sustainable urban design. She's an architect. She founded a housing nonprofit. And I think she's really positioned herself as the really well, like, she's the well-positioned person who with the experience needed to address the city's housing and related homelessness crisis. And so I think, you know, she's been talking about she wants to turn, you know, surface parking lots or underused spaces downtown into maybe mixed use or housing. She really wants to see just more innovation and opportunities taken to have more housing for all income levels. And so I think the emphasis on that, and, you know, she is also endorsed by the previous mayor, I think kind of positioned her as people were like, Karin is the person with the most qualifications to do this job.
Yeah, yeah. Nathan, I want to go back a little bit to the M Stadium initiative. You know, the margins were huge. I want, and you've covered this story for quite some time. Were you surprised at how big a margin of defeat was? And I'm wondering, do you think that, you know, perhaps Eugenians thought about this idea of why would we take public money to finance something that is, you know, the owners of the M's are a private institution. You know, talk about what some of your general observations might be about how big a loss it was.
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing to note is that there were very loud and proud people in favor of this proposal and against it. And, you know, there were months of discussion at City Council council about whether to bring this to the ballot measure, to a vote on the ballot. And one of the things that those that were in support of bringing this to the public, even those who, you know, expressed concerns about the stadium proposal, one of the things that they said is that we've seen that people are in favor of this, that there is a loud group that's in favor of this, but let's actually let the voters share their preferences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think one of the things speaking to people at the M's game who were frustrated by, you know, by this possibility and this failure was that they said, well, it feels like I'm talking to my neighbors and they say they don't like baseball and so they're not going to vote for this. Hmm. And, you know, you think about the M's baseball games, it is a unique or it is a niche, rather, interest that a smaller part of the community participates in.
You know, Rebecca, turning to you, I know you covered House District 8, and that's an interesting race because obviously there's going to be somebody new in that position because of the retirement of Paul Holvey. But there were some interesting dynamics in that race. I think you teed it up a little bit earlier about some of the outside funding in that race. Talk a little bit about some of the, I don't know if controversy is the right word, but just some of the dynamics of that particular race.
Yeah, so that race between Lisa Fragola and Doyle Canning. Doyle has previously run for office before. She ran against Peter DeFazio, and he worked with this Brian Clem, mm-hmm. who has this funding group where they are trying to get more business-friendly Democrats. Mm-hmm. And so they spent a pretty significant amount of money, or Brian Clem did, against Doyle with Peter DeFazio's support. Brian Clem has argued that he did that because he believes that she shouldn't have run against Peter DeFazio, and that's why when I asked Doyle about it, she said she feels like it's more personal, that the environmental policies that she's advocated for really go against what Brian Clem stands for, his business interests, where he lands. And so Eugene voters, you know, I think saw some mailers, saw some advertising and videos just really attacking Doyle in a way that I don't think they is super normal in this district. I mean, especially because sure. Paul Holvey held it for so long.
Yeah, yeah. Well, very interesting primary. Really appreciate the both of you coming in and the great coverage that you've been doing. We've been talking to Rebecca Hanson-White and Nathan Wilk, reporters for KLCC. Again, thanks so much. That's our show. If you missed any of it, all Oregon on the Record episodes are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow, you'll hear about how our region's largest public transit system is doing in the midst of a national bus driver shortage. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.